This episode of Rise Up is brought to you by Minute with Mary. Head on over to minutewithmary.com to try out some new skincare or cosmetics.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Rise Up. It's a podcast dedicated to the smash Broadway hit Hamilton. So sit back and relax and let's raise a glass to freedom. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am ready to frackin' geek out.
Yes.
History geek out. Like, if you've listened to Outlander Cast before, and obviously you have for most of you, you know that we like to do our history episodes on Outlander Cast because it's so history rich. Mm-hmm. And I take special care of those kinds of episodes because they mean so much to me. You know, there's nothing quite like a good history nerd out.
There's nothing quite like it.
Because, like, there's a lot of dorks out there that have fun. There's a lot of dorks that talk like, you know, Stranger Things or Dungeons and Dragons or Game of Thrones. But those history dorks, they have a special kind of dorkage that are just reserved for elite dorks.
Agreed. And thankfully, one of them hosts this podcast.
That's right. And it ain't you. No. Unfortunately, it's me. And you guys get to be privy to hear all about the history dorkage today, because today we're talking about the history of Alexander Hamilton and the man behind the musical. And we're actually bringing in someone who's
wicked smart.
Wicked smart. My girl's wicked smart. Okay, we'll put it that way. Before we get into the rest of the show, we wanted to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on Patreon, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes, and you can find us on social media at Mary and Blake, whether it's on Facebook or on Twitter. And you can actually go to maryandblake.com to find all of our podcasts and blogs that are there, including The North Remembers. It's a Game of Thrones podcast. If you haven't seen the final season yet, or you're just beginning to watch it because you wanted to wait to go through the whole season, you can go listen to it there. Or even This Is Us 2, which is actually coming back. This Is Us coming back in the fall of 2019. So we're really excited about that. And obviously, Outlander Cast as well. So you can go to maryandblake.com, check out all the blogs and podcasts that we have there. Mary, are you ready to do this? Are you ready to get into this amazing discussion that we had that in when we recorded it lasted for about an hour and 45 minutes?
You raise a glass, man. Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us in New York City. Are you ready for a cabinet meeting, huh? The issue on the table.
Today, we're talking the actual history behind Hamilton, the man, and the world that he found himself in. So we brought in an expert. Joining us today is Joanne Freeman. She is a historian and tenured professor of history and American studies at Yale University. She has published 2 books, given lectures across the country, and researched Alexander Hamilton for more than 40 years, guys. She is regarded as a leading expert on his life and legacy. In fact, her research helped inform aspects of Hamilton the musical, and she consulted on the Hamilton exhibit in Chicago that recently opened. So, Joanne, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Rise Up today.
I am really happy to be here.
So, I have a question for you, Joanne, just right off the top, right off the bat. Do you think that Alexander Hamilton would be a fan of his musical?
No. He would not be. I think for 2 reasons. One of them is kind of obvious. I don't think he'd be thrilled that he was being called a bastard, smack in the middle of Broadway, and that was being sung to the world. So that, I don't think the singing about his background would thrill him immensely. But the other thing, and I think the more interesting one, is he always assumed that his politics were not popular and that he was not popular with the public. He was doing what he thought was best. And I think he prided himself on that. So I don't think he would know what to do being popular, you know, and I even think he might distrust it. So he would be having a complicated time right now, I guess, is what I would say.
So you're saying he's a career contrarian then?
He's probably a lifetime contrarian in some way or another.
Now, which part of the show takes the most dramatic liberty, in your opinion?
Oh, wow. You know, what's interesting is when I saw the show, I came at it reverse, right? So when I first saw the show, my response was, holy smoke, there's a lot of real history in here.
Yep.
Which I didn't expect in a musical. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of history in the play, as far as factually, and then even regarding some of Hamilton's letters and at least one Jefferson letter are in the lyrics, right? Which as a document person made my brain explode. But there are many, many things that either aren't in it or aren't addressed or are manipulated to make good musical theater. You know, there's a whole string of them. You could say on a sort of general level, Burr and Hamilton definitely were rivals, but not quite like constantly bumping up against each other in that way, kind of rivals. And of course, it's wonderful for a musical. And there's some truth there, so that's okay. On a broader level, you could say, you know, it's a play about a guy and his circle. It's not really about Hamilton's world. And on the one hand, I think the play has done some amazing things for how people understand history and the founding, right? It made the founding real for people. It reminded people, or actually taught them about contingency and everything wasn't for sure. And it made the founders, with a capital F, human. And I all of those things are great, but it's portraying history in a way that isn't really history. And so, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of person. So to me, this is a teaching opportunity. One could respond to this and say, oh no, now the public's going to think X, Y, and Z, and we have to teach against that. So, you know, there are many things that are either inaccurate or not represented. But then again, I think there are some things in it that are very true.
Would you feel like the most egregious one being like Burr being at Hamilton's wedding?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that's the most egregious one, but he definitely was not at Hamilton's
wedding. Strolling on up late like a little wedding crasher.
I know.
Looking right, for some cake.
Here I am, you know. Yeah. And Hamilton being surprised. He's like, oh, excellent, you came. Really?
That scene, though, does create one of my most favorite lines in all of Hamilton. You're the worst, Burr.
Oh, we use that on like a daily basis. Whenever either of us does something like really silly or dumb, we just say, you're the worst. And then we generally end it with Burr.
Of course, because we're dorks and that's what we do. So we did talk about, you know, the things that where the show does take its most dramatic liberty, maybe the wedding being one of them. What part of the essence of Hamilton do you think the show really captures at its best?
I would say the show captures aspects of his personality. You know, I mean, he was a difficult guy. He always assumed he was the smartest person in the room. He was confrontational. There's a reason why he fought, or didn't fight, but became involved in 10 near duels before the final one with Burr.
Wow.
You know, he was just a difficult person. And the play certainly captures some of that, you know. What the play doesn't really capture, and I guess I don't expected in a piece of musical theater, is Hamilton's politics, right? Mm-hmm. We get a little bit. We get like, you know, a couple cabinet meetings. They actually sing about the assumption of state debts and neutrality, which is kind of mind-blowing. Washington's farewell address we get. But as far as the complications of Hamilton's politics, again, I guess I don't expect that in a piece of musical theater, but that's an important part of him because that's really more than anything else what's earned him whatever reputation he had before this point.
You've said, in I think one of my favorite quotes I've ever heard in my life, is that Hamilton is an arrogant, irritating asshole.
Okay, but let me correct the record here. Ed was, I did. I said that on PBS and I got bleeped. And in like a warped way, it's kind of bucket listy, but also vaguely horrifying. But still, kind of bucket listy. But what I actually said was many people considered him an arrogant, irritating asshole.
Oh, okay.
So that's important because that was the question I was asked. And I think that literally, although you're right, there it is out there in the world.
That exists.
Yes. Not beeping that out.
Once you say it on the internet, it never, ever goes away.
That's it.
So with the play in mind, do you think that Alexander Hamilton has kind of become romanticized in today's world? And is he really a kind of guy that, you know, the normal person really should or would root for? I mean, is he someone we should be looking up to, being like, yes, this is the pinnacle of what an American should be?
Well, so first, yes, he has been romanticized a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, right? I mean, I sort of sometimes say that the person who emerges from the play is a kind of hero Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the real Hamilton and actually the real anybody, you can't really brand them hero whatever, you know, so that doesn't work. I'd say there are aspects of Hamilton that are admirable. I'd say, you know, the fact that he had this overarching vision for the nation, the fact that he pushed to do what he felt was right for the new nation, all of that, you could point to aspects of his politics and say they were admirable. You could point to aspects of them and say, huh, he's not so bad that the Federalists kind of faded away. He was a little extreme in his politics. And, you know, is there any founder, capital F again, who you want to put up on a pedestal in that way? I don't know if anyone should be on a pedestal. I think that you can't understand that whole period if you're romanticizing and idolizing the people in it. But, you know, Hamilton, he's a complex person personally and politically, and that's part of what has kept me interested in him all these years. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So wait, you're saying that Washington is not a godlike figure and Burr is, in fact, not the worst?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of facets, of course, to Hamilton. We're talking about this. He's the family man, the businessman, the immigrant, the statesman, the general. Which Hamilton is your favorite?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I would say the aspect of Hamilton that fascinated me was the logic behind what he did as a politician. Right. So now I'm a historian of political culture, you know, the culture of how politics works. And that began partly because I wanted to figure out what the heck, like, what, why are all these politicians dueling? Like, how did that make sense? You know, like, unfortunately for Hamilton, he's one of the rare cases in which someone died. But how does that relate to politics? So what intrigues me, and it partly intrigues me because in some ways he's really self-destructive, is what made him tick as a person and as a politician, and what can we learn about that? Because he's not the sort of guy who reveals himself on paper very often, so you really have to piece things together and look for patterns to figure him out.
You mentioned earlier that he was extreme in his politics, and without diving into, like, you know, all the minutiae and all the nerd talk, you can do that on your own time. What about him was so extreme? And where did the founding fathers really go awry with him when it came to his extreme politics?
Well, he was extreme. So at a time when, you know, the United States broke away from England, created a new country that was extremely suspicious of centralized power as a king would have, right? In that environment, Hamilton's the guy who basically actually literally says at the Federal Convention that the British government is the finest government on the face of the earth, and whatever we can do here to bring it close to that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a person who appears to be really focused on centralizing and empowering the national government, and you said that, you all by itself, you become someone who's an extreme sort of central government, national government building person.